Yeah, I think you've answered that. Hello, Orange. Okay, Orange is on. I think you've kind of answered the question by your question, because what we're pointing out is that in a very practical way, at the time Amos was speaking to them, the people had changed these locations into places of sin. There was the Bethel was not being really wasn't no longer the house of God. It was a house of idols, and yet it is a beautiful the history of it. We know all the way back to Abraham, the house of God, and Gilgal, as you say, speaks of the cutting of the flesh, and this is important in repentance. So in a sense, morally, may I say it that way, or spiritually, we need these two places. But in the context here, that's not the thought here. They were going to go back to their traditions. They were going to go back. They weren't going to Gilgal for the purpose of having their flesh judged. They're going back to Gilgal because it had a religious significance to them, which was not correct. It was unscriptural now. So this is the warning, as it's repeated in verse chapter 4, verse 4, and chapter 5, verse 5. These two occasions, we already see that at the time that Amos spoke, Bethel and Gilgal had been changed, and they were places of sinful behavior. So we want to make a distinction between the application spiritually to us today, which we must go back to Bethel and Gilgal. We must self-judge, and in what is going on here, in a very physical way, they were not to go back to those places, because in a very literal way, that's where they were committing their sins. The injustices they were committing, the sexual sins they were committing, they were done in these places. Is that understandable?
I think sometimes if we see the principle in light of New Testament, it will help us understand it fully of what Brother Bill is talking about. When the Lord Jesus was here on earth, he entered into the house of God. And he called it my Father's house. And you made it a house of a den of thieves. But it was a very important what the house spoke of, even that temple in the days of the Lord Jesus. But when the moment came where there was nothing for him, nor the Father has anything anymore in the temple, the Lord Jesus in Matthew 23, he says he doesn't call it my house anymore, and he doesn't call it my Father's house anymore. What he tells them, behold, your house is left desolate. And I think the principle is this: when God is not in it, when Christ is rejected and has no right in whatever we are doing, it is becomes like these pots according to the purifications of the Jews. It's not pots according to the purifications of the Lord himself. So that's just an example of New Testament, why there's no benefit in Gilgal, why there's no benefit in Bethel.
Just in the interest of that question, verse 7 is also helpful, because the Lord there indicates sort of what you're talking about historically, that they had ruined the principle of judgment. And I'm sure you can look at verse 7 in many different ways, but just take it along the lines of self-judgment. Yeah, you're supposed to, of course, judge your own sin. And if they had been doing that, they wouldn't have been in this place where they could. You see in verse 2, the virgin of Israel is fallen. They didn't have that daily purification and judging sin. So they could go to Gilgal all they want, traditionally, as we're saying, but they ruined it. Wormwood speaks of bitterness. What should have been purifying for them, they made it bitter. Now, you can look at that many different ways. They ruined it, as we said, historically, but even sometimes we may judge sin in ourselves sort of just in a real quick way. Yeah, I'm sorry for what I did. And we don't really want to get down and actually pay for what we've done, suffer consequences, as we'll see later, and perhaps have to turn around and deal with certain things. We've made it too bitter. Its taste is too bitter for us. We don't want to have to deal with judgment. And you have later in the chapter, similar verse, well, along that line, in verse 15, where he instructs them to hate the evil, love the good, and establish judgment. There you see that word judgment again in the gate. So although he says stay away from Gilgal, he first comments on what they've done wrong with regard to judgment. They've turned it to wormwood, and they've kicked righteousness to the earth as if righteousness meant nothing. Then in verse 15, he gives them further instruction. Look, you have to hate the evil, love the good, establish judgment in the gate. So before you even enter into the city, judgment should be settled, should be established.
I wonder if we could just add to Gilgal and Bethel what comes up at the in the first wool, if you don't mind, because I think that's something to be connected. If we're seeing that the traditions were carried on as though they were normal, when in truth and in fact they had lost all of their spiritual verity, look at what happens in verses 21 and 22-23. The feast days. They're engaged in maintaining the feast days. As a matter of fact, in one way it says, I hate you because you despise your feast. I will not smell a sweet odor in your solemn assemblies. What have they been doing? If ye offer up unto me burnt offerings and oblations, I will not accept them. So what he's saying is, you're still attempting to bring to me the things that I delight in. Yes, I introduced them. I ordained them. Sacrifices, burnt offerings, I ordained them. But you have misused them, and now in your state, your awful state, you're bringing the same sacrifices and expecting that it's going to offer a sweet smell to me. No, it is not. It's odious. It's awful. It hits my nostrils in such a way that I cannot accept them. So it is the same spirit, I think, of Gilgal and Bethel. Using things that were once of God, but now have been despised and idolatrous, you're doing the same thing here with your sacrifices.
I believe that when we take this historically, the judgment that is pronounced here by Micah happened in short notice. I don't know how many years, but even before the harvest, as it were, everything was destroyed at that time by the enemy. And so God showed his hand on it. But there is a prophetic further meaning, what we can gather. When the Lord came, after there was no prophecy after Malachi for some 450 years, then God spoke again. And there were those that waited for that prophecy. And what did they do when it was presented to them again? That's when the Lord himself came. But Bethel was set up to cause division. It was set up far north, away from Jerusalem, the Bethel here. And it was set up in order that the people would not go to worship at Jerusalem, in order that they might be drawn back. So the enemy, they wanted them away. So we had of our own center, Bethel. And that center will be totally destroyed. And God will do that hastily. And that they had better take heed for the judgment. Look, it's coming. It's at hand. It wasn't now for a long time waiting for them. The time was over. Like this, we said earlier, the 3 days and four is really an expression that says, I think it was expressed, it's enough, or really, as we would say in our language, that's the last straw. There's nothing more that God would do to that nation that needed judgment to those people. There was no grace for them. It was judgment. But in the midst of it, God did seek to rescue some. that were caught away in it. But anyway, I think that's an important point to recognize. This Bethel was set up in division. It was divisive. And that was here the sin beginning. They couldn't do anything right there because they were direct opposition with God's thoughts.